Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we be seated? Just very briefly. You know, some of you, you have decorums for service, and it's not your fault. For years, we have always been like that. But when the Holy Ghost decided to move in another way, no one questions him. We're going to talk about something very interesting this morning. It's called the agenda. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we'll start with our popular power scripture. Mark 1:15. Then he said, the time is fulfilled, because, you know, he had said that John the Baptist was the last prophet from the law. Are we together? So it has to be another regime. And that's why he said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he said, repent and believe in the gospel. Other rendition, like that of Luke and Matthew, I'm not sure which one, says the kingdom of God is near. Now, all of them is suggestive. It's not suggestive. Let me start with that. That the kingdom of God will come in the future. That was not what Jesus was saying. Because if that's what Jesus meant, then he will not say what he said in Luke 17:21. So let's look at Luke 17:21. And I want everybody to read. Let's start from verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, because they had a different expectation of the kingdom. They were thinking it was a physical kingdom. Are we together? But it's not a physical kingdom. They were thinking Jesus would be the president and would be the prime minister, or they would be one of the, you know, governors and etc. That was their expectation. But that was not Jesus' expectation. That was not Jesus' mindset. That was not Jesus' picture or heaven's picture of the kingdom. Are we together? So of course the Pharisees too had this expectation, like the 12 too had. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That means if you are looking for it to see it physically, you will not see it. Are we together? You know, some people are waiting for some kind of trouble in the atmosphere so that it is suggestive to them that the kingdom is nigh. That's why sometimes you see people, you know, if you check Facebook, those videos always have many million views. You see many times, you see Jesus coming from the clouds. Have you seen many videos like that? And yet, we didn't see him in Nigeria. I don't know if we're that unworthy or something. And etc. Because the Bible says all eyes will see him, isn't it? But you see, you are seeing it on Facebook. How many of you have seen that video on Facebook? And you see Jesus coming and you see people saying, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, and etc. It's so funny because you don't read your Bible, that's why you're thinking like that. If you were knowledgeable in the things of God, you would just quickly run away from that video. I remember during COVID-19, those guys really had a lot of money. One time they posted a video of a tomb. Is it tomb? Graveyard that was opened by flood. And they were saying, now the time has come. The Bible prophesied that everybody's grave will be opened and the dead will rise. And so they were suggesting that the time had come. Are we together? And I saw people writing under it too, Lord have mercy. Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God does not come with what? Observation. The next part of scripture, verse 21. It says, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And I remember I was doing some study with someone, and he said to me, he said, it definitely would not be the Pharisees. Because at that point, we'll be wondering if the Bible meant that the kingdom of God was within the people there. And it's not true, because the Pharisees were not born again. In fact, they were antichrist. They were against Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if you look at it intelligently, you cannot say God, Jesus is referring to the people standing there, because they were, you know, chiefly Pharisees. He was talking about himself. Are we together? Not the people. He is the picture, the idea of the kingdom. The kingdom, from the root word in Greek, you know, the root word in Greek is basilia. Are we together? Basilia. It means authority. It means influence. Are we together? It means God's influence, God's authority, parameters of authority. The parameters of the authority of Jesus is in the parameters of the authority of God is in the person of Jesus. Whatever Jesus displayed and beyond tells the length, the width, the height of God's authority on earth as it is in heaven. Are we together? Because, you know, when I said beyond, it is because he said something like this. He said, greater things you will do. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So even beyond, he said, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the heart of men, God has prepared for those that would love him. You know, the only problem in today's church is that people are trying to seek God in just a portion, just trying to seek a portion of God. They are trying to seek what eyes have not seen. They are trying to seek what ears have not heard. You know, they are like, I want to come to a point where I'm able to do like this and the building will shift. Those things are little compared to the major. The Bible says, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the heart of men, God has prepared for those that have that love him. These are things he wants you to display. He's not saying you should seek them. There's somebody you can become that will cause you by default to express these things. To express what eyes have not seen. To express what? To express what? The Bible says something at the end. It says, for them that love him. Meaning, for you who is a child of God, God has prepared for you to manifest what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the hearts of men. If you are seeking what eyes have not seen and what ears have not heard, instead of understanding your place in Christ as a son, then you miss it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You don't just sit down, you are dreaming of doing some kind of things like it's Ben 10 or Mortal Kombat or something. I want to come to a point when I do like this and things will shift, when I just move and people will be falling. I mean, those are kindergarten stuff. You know, the way God wants it to happen is that when you are in a situation that you need his power, he will show up. You don't just stand up, for instance, and go and climb a river and say, people walked upon water. I mean, Jesus walked upon water in his days. I want to prove to you people I'm like Jesus, and you are walking upon water. For you, is there a boat in your days? Huh? Is there a boat? Now, it is God Almighty that gave you the idea to make boats. If it's not you too, even if it's not you, the person that discovered boats or made boats, it was God Almighty that gave him the idea. So that you can take boats and what? Get to the other side. Don't try to get to the other side like Jesus did. Because the Bible said when Jesus raised his head, they had already gone ahead. And Jesus could not wait. And he started walking. Abi, you too, you cannot wait. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If there is boat, enter the boat and go. You know, one time we heard a story of somebody who entered the lion's den to prove that he's a Christian. I don't know, maybe his name is Daniel. But you see, it was not the same situation. Daniel was conspired against by great rulers in his days, or big rulers, or big governors, or kings in his days, because he was standing for the name of the Lord. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They observed that the king preferred him over everybody. He was the only believer amidst 9 unbelievers, and he was the chairman of that association. He was the one that had the final say in the committee. And they were like, no, we don't like this guy. What do we do to get this guy down? And they said to themselves, there is nothing we can do except to make sure that whatever I want to do has to do with his God. Allegiance to his God. Because he doesn't joke with his God. That's the only thing they saw. We are going somewhere. They did not observe that Daniel was cheating with a lady in the office. They did not observe that Daniel was a lecturer that her student he was sleeping with to give grades. Follow me carefully. I'm going somewhere. They did not observe that Daniel had ever taken bribe in his place of work. If they had observed anything like that, if they had a clue, Daniel would have been shut up since. Are you able to get out? I'm trying to explain to you. I'm going somewhere. Today's topic is called the agenda. We're going somewhere. Years ago, I met somebody in BSU as a student. I met him, young man. Hallelujah to Jesus. I met him, you know, don't get me distracted, please. I met him as an HOD, or what is it, an HOD or semi-HOD or something. He was not the HOD, but more like the second in command. And it was on the strength of his situation at that time on campus. You know, some of you don't want to be disciplined. When we say don't touch your phone, you are touching your phone. We will push you. We are not begging you to, we will push you. When you come to church, you sit down without touching your phones. You have been touching your phone for 1 year. You are still broke. What are you touching your phone in the service? What do you want to collect inside service? If it's not Satan, think about it. How many minutes Satan is disturbing you? Touch and check something. Come on, be intelligent. Are we together? Jesus flogged people in church. Me, I will push you from church. You know, some of you are very stubborn. When they are talking, you'll be doing like your ice cream and they want to lick you. You know, when people come to church, they always feel like church is doing pastor a favor. It's yourself. Can any school teach you how to reign above sin and death? Huh? Can BSU teach you that? Can UNIAG teach you that? How many people have first class that are dead today? That don't have jobs? You know, this first class thing, people have stopped pursuing itself. Because you finish now, you just sit down. I just made third class people to be happy. Third class people just said, ah, Jesus, see, going. Alright, so where was I before I got distracted? I met him because somebody was trying to sleep with my member in the fellowship those days, and I wanted to report the lecturer to him. And he said to me, ah, Pastor Simon, see, it's not like we can't talk. Some things, just leave it. Just forget. I said, sir, but how do we solve the problem of him trying to... Say, leave it. When I went to make my research, he had done some things in that department. Now, in fact, the guys heard it. He now called me and said, you are going to report to me to that person. That one, if I talk, he will lose his job. I was just surprised. He said, if I talk, he will lose his job. So, because he had already compromised before, and people are aware of it. You know, it's only God that forgives and forgets. He clears the record. Human beings will forgive and keep the record somewhere, so that they will advise other people about you tomorrow. The guy in a Christian, but he made a joke with money. 4 years ago, you know, recently they had a video of the Reverend Dachomo. They said he was involved in a robbery. How many of you saw that video? Somebody came out, one Islamic cleric, and said Dachomo was involved in one robbery. And people were like, What's happening? And that Dachomo had to come out and say, yes, I was involved. But that time I was not born again. You see, we who are true Christians, I'm not talking about some Christians, I mean true Christians. Because there are some Christians now that will have comma in their hearts. We who are true Christians, we don't have a problem with that. But some people and some regular human beings will have a problem with that. This guy was a gang leader before. He robbed a bank. What kind of mind did he have? He said we robbed the bank. But somehow, if you have been within the Christendom, you know that some of God's best people are some of these kind of people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, some of you that were raised from Christian homes, you can see God finish, because every day you wake up, it's Jesus, Jesus. But most of those Muslims, when they convert to Christianity, you see them showing the demonstration of God's power. You'll be wondering, now this Jesus who I know from when they bore me, nine, this man, this show like this. Check some of the men of God that we have in this country, some of them who are influential. Their name is Islamic name. But those who their name is Peter, Paul, James, Bartholomew, you just see them regular. In fact, some of them are court leaders. Say Paul, they are ye. Or John, Lord John. You know, one time they seized the phones of my boys, and I went there where they seized the phones. They were court guys. My wife was begging me, Pastor, don't go there. So I drove and I went there, and I saw anybody there that looked like a cultist. I said, come, are you a cultist? He said, Pastor, I don't know how he knew me. He said, Pastor, what happened, Pastor? He couldn't stand one place. He was just doing his hand like this, you know. And I just figured, I think this is the cultist. So I said, some boys took the phones of my boys. He said, who touched the anointed? Who touched the Lord's anointed? Who touched the Lord? And he said, making calls. I didn't know how he knew. He just called one person. Where are those phones they collected to? Bring them here now. Touch not the anointed. But the interesting part is that he had a Christian name. A Bible name. That means he came out from a Christian family. See, religion is very deadly. That you are in church, you grew up in church, you were even playing drum in church. Your father is a pastor, but now you are a Yahoo boy. Now I'm telling you what is happening. I'm not trying to condemn. I'm trying to show you how powerless religion is. It cannot change anybody. These people worship me with their word, mouth, but their hearts are what? Far away from God. It's not because they are bad people. Sometimes when you see those people, you say, look at this bad person. It's not because he's bad. It's because he didn't have sufficient information that could change him at that time. All he had was mere religion. He only went to church to bow his head, and there was no sufficient information. And the one he even had were assumption of true knowledge, not actually true knowledge. Take for instance, the Bible says in Matthew, give me that scripture, Matthew 15:9. It says, in vain they worship me because they take as doctrines the teachings of men. So their worship to God is in vain. When your understanding of God is false, your worship to God will be in vain. More like you are trying to hit something, but you are not hitting it, even though you are already wasting the resources of stones or your bullet or whatsoever. Because your understanding of God is some mere assumptions that are not true. They never existed. Are you listening to me? And that's why Jesus dared to correct their doctrines. And the Bible said they even refused Jesus. He said, I came to my own, and my own what? Receive me not. Have you seen decent looking people who you caught one time, or maybe one time when something is revealed about them, they have a dirty character? I was talking to somebody, and he said to me, he said, sir, I couldn't do it publicly, so I had to be doing it secretly. He was trying to, you know, report himself to me in a deep situation. What was the guy's situation? He was addicted to pornography and will be following ladies online and be, you know, he's not trying to identify as his original self. He will identify as another person and be talking with ladies and be saying nonsense stuff to them. And when he was caught, he came to my office, he was crying. He said, if you look at this guy, you will never predict that this guy is like this. He looks anointed. He looks like a man of God. He does not wear crazy jeans on crazy jeans. He's not even in the jeans league. He wears plain trousers. He always stockings and put his tie and looks like a man of God. You know when Samuel saw somebody who he felt should be anointed and wanted to pour oil? You remember that situation? If you see him, you want to pour oil. He looks decent. I don't think there's any church that person will go to that the pastor will not consider him a leader. And when you talk about administration, so administrative. Until he was caught. So he was telling me, sir, I never wanted it. With tears in his eyes, I never, but I did not know how to live it. I never wanted, I couldn't go out and be toasting ladies because everybody knows me as a pastor. I've preached in the whole street. What will I tell people? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, when you are growing up, listen to me carefully, all right? And you are in some of these religious settings, Probably what you had can help. The information you had at that time can help you at that level of your life. You were just 9. You can be preaching on every seat and saying, Jesus is Lord. Heaven is real. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even though that's not the gospel. But it will help at that time for some, and probably whatever you had as knowledge can sustain you. But when you grow up and begin to face life, real life challenges, when you are now 25, 21, 30, at that time you have reached puberty stage. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? At that time now, you are in an office where they want to bribe you. At that time, you are seeing situation that, you know, you have touched, you have seen the depth of poverty. And you are wondering, Lord, how will I survive? You see, what will help you now is not that little knowledge you had from those religious settings. You need the true word of God. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say now? That's what will help you. That's why you see sometimes people come out from settings where they don't even wear earrings. They don't wear trousers. Yet, they are even pregnant. How did they become pregnant? If there was another, Jesus would have thought that they are conceived of the Holy Spirit. And now you can only suggest that they did the same thing unbelievers are doing. And you see, the proof that they love the Lord is that they have lived a very devoted life all their lives. But the point came that they cannot penetrate this darkness coming against them again with that little knowledge they had from those religious settings. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say now? So the devil overpowered them. There are a lot of people who have wonderful hearts, who are very nice people, very wonderful people. I've seen smokers who, I tell you, I love their character. Have you seen smokers that are wonderful people before? Anybody seated here has seen a very nice smoker? They talk so intelligently. Me, I've even seen a smoker that taught me maths. He wrote a book, physics book. Yes, I don't want to call his name. So intelligent. And during break, he will go and smoke at a point and come back full of inspiration. For the first time in my life, somebody corrected modern physics. I was wondering, what impetus is this? When he attempted it, I said, what impetus? I was in class, I was looking at him like this. He said, I want to correct one wrong thing in modern physics. Newton's law, is it Newton's law of universal gravitation? In a closed system of two colliding bodies, if you check your modern physics, you will not see closed system. He said, every word matters, else it is rubbish. In physics, he said, every word matters. And there's what we call keywords in physics. We don't want English, we want what? Keywords. If you write your English that the car is just going forward, 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 oh, you will not pass than when you write velocity. Or acceleration, sorry. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Instead of explaining acceleration and you are writing, the car is just going up and up and up, you will fail. But when you write acceleration, we'll give you a mark, even though we don't understand the English. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's how it is. So he told us that it cannot be in a system of two colliding bodies. He said, that's wrong. It has to be a closed system. And he explained it and proved it, and we're really glad. But after he teaches us during break, he'll go and what? Smoke. Such a disciplined man. When I say disciplined, now you'll be wondering, because he smokes, why will he be smoking as a disciplined person? The way he dresses like a professor, he's even a professor now, I heard. But if you talk in his class while he's teaching, you are going home that time. He said, when I talk, nobody talks. Everybody, he's not giving you Jesus so that you'll be changed and listen to him. He doesn't care whether you know Jesus or not. All he cares is that you must have a good character in this class. When I talk, no living thing moves. That's his statement. So while he's talking, if you talk, you just see him writing on the board. If you are new in the class, you may now say something. Maybe you agree something. Hey, my guy, how far now? Then he will turn. He will say, come, how many days have you spent? You say, 2 days. He will remove the money. You think he's joking. You can't it. Even if your grandfather come here, you are not coming back to this class. Stay. Get out. That's the end of you. All of us that went to that lesson, I can call some of our friends. Some of them, and most of them, or all of them, are the best in their field. He doesn't teach as students. He said he doesn't have that time. He only teaches science students. Now, I'm sorry if you're an art student. I'm not trying to talk down you, but that's what he said. He said he doesn't have that time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Except you want to come there and learn maths. And the way he teaches maths is in the direction of science. I don't think any art student want to go and spend that much time to be learning that kind of maths. Because they'll say they don't need it, probably. Alright? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So there are very nice people who, because of their ignorance, are decaying. They are dying. Even yourself seated there, it's just that we cannot carry microphone and say everybody should talk their secret. There are points you have sinned, but you know you are a good person. Do I have witnesses in this place? Okay, nobody wants to agree. There's a song way back, I just understood when I heard the singer sing it. He said, I make much mistakes sometimes, but I love you. You know that song? I love you forever. I may miss the mark sometimes, but I love you. When he's telling God that I love you, but should in case I sin, know that I still would love you. Now imagine you are a woman here and your husband says, I love you. I love you. And the day you cast me to another woman, I want you to know that you are the one I love. And the people of God say what? Amen. How many of you agree with that? You just cast your mind and say, it's you I love. What did I tell you the day I met you? It is you. I may miss it now, but it's you I love. It's you I love. No lady will believe that. So why do you want God to believe that? I mean, you are doing stuff with the devil and telling God, I love you. I'm missing the mark right now, but God, I dare you. You know, it's funny. Alright, see, the song is sincere. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He's singing from a sincere heart. To him, he's feeling like, God, when I'm even sinning, I really love you. But somehow, if you read the Bible carefully, you understand this situation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? That at the time Paul was trying to live by a religious idea, Paul was living a life of shambles. Now remember Romans 7. Let's read verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. I want everybody in this church to end up a theologian. Are we together? So we're going to read together. 1, 2, 3, read. Or do you not know, brethren? For I... Alright, so let's read the first quarter of this part of scripture. One to read. Or do you not know, brethren? For I... Stop. Paul is speaking to a people who know the law. Meaning, the context of this scripture is suggesting that what everything Paul said in Romans 7 and had been saying before Romans 7 is to a people, not entirely, but at this point now we can say it is to a people that what? Know the law. And the word there for knowledge is ginosko. Everybody say ginosko. Other people call it ginosko. Are we together? And ginosko simply means experiential knowledge. It means knowledge that comes as a result of your experience. For instance, when you say all men are scum, it is not true. It is experiential knowledge. Now, did you get what I just said now? Yes, I heard a Kenyan comedian saying to a lady, she said to him, all men are scum. He now asked her, why did you test all men? And they all began to laugh. Now, when you say all men are scum, how did you know? People can be that bitter. For instance, you hear somebody just stand up and say, Igbo men like money. It's not true. You probably have found few, and who hates money actually? Let's not even use that. There is nobody that hates money. Who hates money here? Let the Lord see you. Everybody likes money. Are we together? Nobody hates money. Are you all listening to me tonight? But you see somebody say, Igbo people, they love money. Then you now hear another, Yoruba people love pepper. Now, if you love pepper in this place, wave your hand. Are you Yoruba? So you see that it is not true. There are many Yoruba people that don't love pepper. What other thing can we say again? Thief men like women. Yes, I've heard that very well. They say if you are a thief man, you love women. Which men love men? Wave your hand to Jesus if you love men. Igede men, are you here? Can you wave your hand? If you are an Igede man, wave your hand up. Do you love men? But I understand what they are trying to say. But even in that context, it is not entirely true. You probably would have found some. Are we together? I was talking with an Igede man one time, and he said the reason why they don't want their tribe to marry the thief people is because years ago they found that thief people like women, they can beat their wives, they are very careless. I said, what do you mean? I said, okay, I'm a thief man. He said, really? No, you, we can consider you. I said, look at the lie. Look at the lie now. So you mean your whole culture will break for me? Is that what you're saying? That means there are a lot of people like me also. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? There are a lot of people like me, just like on campus years ago. There are these two ladies I was always trying to disciple. And one time they asked me, Pastor, what's your language? They were always thinking I was a Idoma. They were Idoma ladies. Pastor, what's your language? Just playfully. What's your language, Pastor? And I said, well, I'm thief. How? So disappointed. And I looked at them. I said, what is disappointing? Cannot walk again, cannot walk again. So they were disappointed that I was a particular tribe. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are many examples we can do like that. It is called experiential what? Knowledge. Like some of you now, if you say, Mommy, I want to marry an Edo woman. We have a mother in Kaduna we always joke with. One of my friends more. If we want to make her laugh, and Mommy will just come to her and say, Mommy, I've seen one Fulani wife. She shout, Holy Ghost, fire. Any tribe you call, she shout, Holy Ghost, fire. So one time my son woke up and said, I don't see one Calabar on my wife. He said, blow up, Jesus. Holy Ghost, fire on you. Fire on your mouth. She only has a particular tribe. We were wondering. We have called every tribe. She knows them. So which tribe do you want? She said, it was her tribe she now finally called. She's Igbo. But she married an Igala man. So one of her son asked her, so wait till you come find for Igala. So you mean daddy is a bad person? Because even Igala, she said, no. She refused. But she married an Igala person. You see that? Maybe now she has problem with the man's sisters. And she now feel like this is how Igala women are. That's how a lot of people think. Some of them have problems with one person or two persons in the market. Especially your mothers, I can assure you. The reason why they hate a particular tribe is quarrel in a meeting. Most of them. Are you all listening to me tonight? Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So it's called experiential knowledge. Paul was speaking to a people who have a false identity about something. They were living by the law, like he said. Now look at verse 13. I feel distractions in the spirit. See, calm your heart and focus. You know, some of you, let me give you a little advice before I continue. Some of you who are Gen Z. When I say Gen Z, I mean all these people they born in 2000. You don't know what is important from what is not important. Most of you, as we are talking now, what is in your heart is PS4 or PS5. Some of you, as we are talking now, is seasonal movie that you want to go and finish at home. You bath and came to church and you are thinking another thing. Are you seeing what Satan is doing to you? Now that you're supposed to be focused, I can sense it in the spirit. I'm a prophet. When people are distracted, I know. You are in a hurry. If they leave you to go home now, nothing. Especially Gen Z. I pastor a lot of Gen Z people. All of you, most of you. Only a few millennial people are here. They are like 30 to 40%. The rest of you, Gen Z. It's unbelievable they born somebody in 2004, 2000, 2001. It's very unbelievable. And when we are talking to them, they don't know how to hear what. They just born people yesterday. We that have been in this world are teaching you to be careful. Some of you especially, this is your phone. That's where your whole life is, not brain. Look, what life? Those days, we used to play Ludo. We can play chess. Those things that will make sure your brains are stretched. Boys will go outside and play colas. Colas. Do you know colas? We'll go outside. Ladies will go outside and do sway. This generation don't know all those things. They don't know sway. As I'm saying, I'm saying they are looking at my man. What is sway? Ladies Thieves will go outside and they will mold their house when rain falls. They will mold their house. That's how they knew how to build with their men. They will mold their house. When rain falls, they have mold house. Arrange house. You see them arrange it, they are practicing. But this generation, ladies, full of billing. They don't know how to arrange anything. Just to bill. And I'm not making her. Because they don't know Shade. There's a generation that don't say your hairstyle for next week is love, calm down. So when we're advising you, see, if you have millennial brothers, listen to them. That's why this generation, there is no generation that have done fraud like Gen Z. Gen Z. You will see a millennial working hard. A Gen Z will just rise up and go and buy Benz. They don't know life is only Benz. Just Benz. Before you know, the Benz will kill them. And if you look at it carefully now, you know, they don't even know the function of money. That is why it's Dorime. They don't know anything about life. That's why they have hype men. Because you don't understand about anything about life. I entered a place to buy something in Modern Market. I was arranging my money for suits, pricing the suits. As a man of God, I was pricing the suits. I did not care. He says something. I said, sir, I will pay this amount. He said, man of God. I said, man of men. Me too, I will pay this amount. I will pay. I was pricing with dignity until a Yahoo boy entered there and scattered the atmosphere. It was a big, undefined shoe. They call it Crocs. When I saw the thing, I thought it was a joke. This guy came and picked it and he said, how much, sir? He said 30 something thousand. Believe me, he did not price. He says, at which account? Nadayo Obi, I'll be which one. The man was just talking. He said, I don't send the money. I said, hey, what a disgrace. Man of God is pricing. And see, that time that I bought that suit, it was just around 40,000, very close to Crocs. You know, I was so ashamed because the man said 40, I said 35. They now bought Crocs 32. Then when the guy was going, the man started encouraging me, Pastor, no feel bad. Now, Yahoo boys, we know say you will not go feel buying this kind of thing. Price, which you want price. No, because I kept quiet, I could not talk again. He said, more continue the price. Oh yeah, I'll go give you for 35. I wanted to say, leave it at 40. What do you mean? But so you see, calm down. Are you people listening to me? Calm down. Even relationship, they'll be telling people, you know, to hear. You are always falling in love, Gen Z. You are in 100 level now, you are in love. What do you know about love? You see a Gen Z boy, 100 level, is promising a lady heaven and earth. And you know, two of them are mumu, because why will you agree for a 100 level boy? Somebody that they are sending food stuff, you agree to enter a relationship with him. Now he said, I cannot continue. You are crying. What do you expect for somebody who had no vision? And young women, I always tell you people are more at the receiving side, the damage side. Be careful. They don't used to carry belly. But women used to carry belly. Are you listening to me? I'm talking to you who are doing like you don't know what it means to carry belly, Abby. It means pregnant. I said it carry belly so that you understand me very well. So Gen Z, learn to sit in church and concentrate. I said this thing just for Gen Z. Wherever this message is preached, Gen Z, it is for you that I preach this side. So help me God. Alright, I'm continuing my message. Focus on here and don't touch your phones. I think we need to create a system of flogging these people in church with these Gen Z people. Because some of them, their parents man, are sending them to church because they have tired. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, let's continue. So do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now look at verse 13 very, very fast. Let's read together. 1, 2, read everyone. Hey, let's read together. Hey. Gen Z, don't be offended at me. Let's all read together. 1, 2, read. But sin, so that it may appear as sin through the law. Because when you sin and you don't know there is a sin, they felt like that was the initiative behind the law. They wanted you to understand that this thing you are doing is a sin, so they wrote some commandment. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why the writer says sin, so that it may appear sin is actually even killing us at the same time. Because all you just do is that you just know that fornication is a sin, but there is no solution. They are just telling you stealing is a sin, but there's no solution. So you know it's a sin, you've seen the sin, and you are in pains. You can't come out, but you know it's a sin. That was the only function of the law, so that it explains to people that sin is actually what? Sin, nothing else. And that's why Jesus had to come. Alright? In verse 3 of Romans 8, the Bible says, what the law could not do in that it was weak because of the flesh. The law could not achieve its purpose. Don't go there. So read verse, don't go there. Come back to verse 14 of Romans 7. I was trying to teach something here. Verse 14, let's read together. For we know that the law, what? Paul is saying the laws are the ways of a spiritual man. But I, Paul, when I was living by the law, remember context, who is Paul talking to? People who are living by what? The law. A religious idea. You see that? There's frustration when you live by religious ideas and in religious systems. He said, the law are the ways of a spiritual man. He said, but me, when I was trying to live by the law, because he was talking to people living by the law, he said, I'm carnal, sown under sin. And that is why I said the resultant effect is verse 15. It says, the things I don't want to do, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You see, Paul is saying that when I was trying to live by a religious idea, the things I hate, I find myself doing that then. If you see yourself doing what you hate, it is because what you are standing on is a mere religious idea. The Bible said if you know God, you cannot continue in sin. He liberates you from sin. He saves you from sin. You see why we all have to leave religion? Are you seeing the reason? Satan now is wise. He knows that if he comes as obvious devil, you will fight him. So how is Satan coming? He is coming as religious ideas now in the 21st century. Yes. He comes as religious ideas. Remember, Satan fully express himself in the days of Jesus through religion. It was Satan speaking to the Pharisees. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. Crucify him. It was the church that shouted, crucify Jesus in his days upon the face of the earth. How did Satan flow through religion? You see that? Religion is crazy. If Satan is not the initiator of religion, he will not flow effectively through them. But he is the one at the center of religion. The Bible calls him the father of what? All lies. And that's why if you observe religious system carefully, you see them going towards the direction of Satan. They are always, a religious church will never speak against the government. They are always one with the government. And that's why if you observe, in the days of Jesus, they had this tally with the government. What the government was saying to Jesus was what they were saying to Jesus. At the end, when the government said, I'm not even pleased, I can't do this thing, he's washing his hands off. They say, if you wash it, give us water, we'll drink. Just paraphrasing. They were that tough. They said, crucify him, that his blood should be upon us and our children. How wicked they were. How terrible they were. And that's why if you see religious people today, they may negate the truth coming out from your mouth. They will not just stop there and look for conspiracies against you, even as a pastor. This is why today we can even have churches against other churches or churches against preachers. Why? The truth. What you are saying does not tally with them. In the days of Jesus, imagine Jesus was in your days. And Jesus is saying this truth. Or saying whatever he was saying in Bible days. Do you know many people who reject Jesus? Many people rejected him in his days. He said, I came to my own. In his city, he was rejected. Are you listening to me? He was rejected. And now, get something even deeper. Do you know Jesus was always going to church, as his custom entails, every Saturday? But one day he rose up and started saying something that negated where he was going to every Saturday. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Unbelievable. He started saying things that negated their ideas. Hallelujah to Jesus. And they felt like Jesus was now anti-God. They were looking for ways now to kill him. While going somewhere. So if you try to live by religion, you'll be frustrated. Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself what doing them when I was trying to live by the law. And that's why he's saying, I speak to them that know the law. And he's telling them their experience. It was so sure they were frustrated.
because they were living by religious idea. And he had dared to do like that too, because Paul was a Pharisee before he got converted. Are you listening to me tonight? So if you try to live by religion, you'll be frustrated. That's why doctrine is everything in Christianity. You want to stay so long in the faith, the right doctrine. When you see people, sometimes as pastors, you see us sounding the alarm, you may think we are being troublesome. Do you know why somebody, as a Christian, will have the impetus, all right, to do certain things and be asking whether it's a sin or not? You know, I was checking something about the book of Leviticus, where the Bible speaks about cutting on your belly. And I found out that in every suggestion, there were three suggestions. And three of them simply means it has to do with a deity. It was a demonic practice. And somebody is now asking, but in the New Testament, God did not tell us not to draw tattoo. What is the discussion in the New Testament? How do you see the Bible? If the Bible told you that that idea was tied to a demonic, it was a demonic practice, why does the Bible have to tell you in the New Testament that thou should not draw tattoo? You have already seen it in the Bible. And in the Bible, in Leviticus, it is telling, Moses said they should not do it because it was a demonic practice. Why do you think God would want you to now bring it in the New Testament? And I'm just wondering. And when you talk, people will be like, no, he's attacking unnecessarily. Now, get me now. If you have tattoo and you are born again, no problem. Carry your tattoo and come to Christ. If removing the tattoo will kill you, don't remove it. God will accept you the way you are. But if you are in Christ Jesus, if you know your place in Christ Jesus, it is not possible for you to think that way. Because what matters to you more is the kingdom. You are living with an agenda. An agenda of the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You want the whole earth to be influenced by the glory of heaven. What is tattoo compared to that agenda in your heart? If I stand and people judge me for my tattoo, many souls will not receive Jesus for my tattoo. Then to hell with the tattoo. That's what Paul meant when he said that if eating meat will cause your world brothers to sin, then there is no need to even eat it. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. As pastors, the reason we don't do some unnecessary hairstyles and dressing is not because maybe those things are necessarily sin. It is because we know they will hinder a lot of people from receiving Jesus. Even the people who we look like will reject us. Some of them will reject us. Why is pastor dressing like me? Are you listening to me? Meanwhile, the gospel may be true. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was talking to some boys, was it 2 days back? I was telling them about this topic, the agenda. I was showing them how that everything in this world, now stop that, just play naturally. Everything in this world is anti-Christianity because Jesus is the center of Christianity. I told them how that if you observe in this world, as long as the thing concerns Christian, nobody wants to put their hands inside. Until God began to raise for us some kind of leaders like Trump today. If you observe, before now, they've even been killing of Christians. But nobody is talking about it. Is it Senator Ted Cruz? Or what was that? Is it Ted Cruz they call him? One time I saw a video. He was in his office, just bothered and writing. From his office, he took a picture and was writing some heartfelt words about Christianity and persecution in Africa, especially in Nigeria. I was like, what will make a man sit down as a senator? He's not thinking about anything else in this world. He's just thinking about persecuted Christians and wondering how they will look for ways to go and save them. It's because he's living with an agenda in his heart. We're in a world today, especially in this part of our world, where senators, all they think about is money. You know, the most unbelievable, which word will I use? The most rubbish politicians we have ever seen in our life, let me use that, is from this country. We don't even it's unbelievable to think about their character. That somebody is standing for a cause before you know he has changed party. You know, we have not had a useless administration like this administration in our lives. I'm wondering election against who next time. I don't even know how they want to do it. I think we just have one or two states or three states that have not changed. And the state that have not changed are the state that they are trying to persecute. The ones, I know is a governor in Abia. Is it Abia? Who is doing marvelous things, wonderful things. Yet the government have a problem with him for one reason. He has not changed. To him, he does not want to identify. You can tell what is in that heart, that guy's heart. He does not want to identify with that party because he knows you'll be limited. At this point in his state, if you are 65, they are paying you salary. As long as you are 60. Is it 65 or 60? 60. You are on salary. Every month. Never been heard in Nigeria's history. Never. No agenda in their heart. The only agenda is his stomach. You know, I was telling somebody something. I said, do you know all of this our money we're crying about in Nigeria? Do you know which people used to get it? Some small girls in hotels. Everything we have in this country, all our oil money, is some small girls in hotels. That is why, let me tell you something, people of God, with all boldness. You see some of these celebrities you are there hyping. They are the most rubbish set of human beings that have ever hit this country. They will say nothing about anything happening right now because they are benefiting more than you. As long as they are benefiting, they will keep their mouth shut. All this, your Davidos and whiskey. Have you heard them say anything? They can't say anything. Like Daniel, like I started with. Imagine Daniel was in your nation. He will speak. Because his hands are clean. Because he stands for the Lord. There is no way you love the Lord and the kingdom and not stand for humanity. You know, I was thinking these things with pains in my heart. That's why when we hear Christians just lukewarm in church, we get extremely angry. Like Paul would say, oh foolish Galatians. You can understand as a pastor when you read that part of scripture, you understand exactly how Paul was feeling in that part of scripture. It's painful that a man is going risking his life from one nation to another, one village to another. What do you think is pushing that man? He will tell you he fought with beasts in the city of Ephesus. He fought with a lion. Not only David, though. And he'll come out into another city with bruises on his face, but Bible on his hands, and he's teaching the word. I must go to this other city. I must go. He didn't start it. Jesus started it in Luke 4. He said, I must go about preaching the kingdom to other cities. Jesus went from cities to cities. He said, for this purpose have I come. Then he said to us, as the Father sent me, send I you. You can't be lukewarm as a Christian. You must carry this agenda, the agenda of the kingdom in your heart. That as it is in heaven, it must be like that upon the face of the earth. The conduit to making this a reality are we Christians. I and you seated here. That's why Paul came to a point in his dealings with Christians, with his church. He wrote to them, he said, when you observe a brother living a worldly life, claiming to be a Christian, he said, abstain from them. He said it. He said, abstain from them. Meaning you are coming to church every time. But every time there are worldly songs you are coming to church, you are in a department. He said, Paul said, leave those people. Just separate them. So that the ones who are serious will not be infected. To Paul, that's an atrocity. How can you be in church? With what is happening? Do you know how this Nigeria will change one day? Me and you are how this Nigeria will change today. One day. If we are not on fire, there is no hope for this country. These people don't have any intention. There is no vision in their heart. You hear the rubbish they are saying in their last campaign. There is nothing in their heart. They don't have no vision, no foresight. Else, how can you explain to me that people are dying every day in Jos? They are dying every day and nobody is doing anything about it. Lately, I think in 2 days back, we heard the defense minister saying, our children. He is calling the bandits our children. I'm talking about the people who have made many people fatherless, many people motherless, many fathers and mothers, they've made them now childless. I grew up in the barracks. Almost every day those days in the barracks, it is a woman crying, to her children crying, or soldiers going into somebody's house to greet them. If you see more than 5 soldiers come and greet you in your house, your father is dead. That's how we grew up. And these are the people that deserve consolations. Not even the military are being consoled. I'm talking to you, my father has fought more than 3 wars. If he's in a very good country, he should be one of the biggest men in this state. I'm not talking about he was in the military. He has gone to 3 different places and fought wars. Even the Maiduguri, they started the war there. And God keep them, they are able to graduate, retire, what do you call it? Some of them, they have memories. They have some certain kind of traumas. Sometimes he will tell you how bullet will pass their ear. That the bullet that will kill you, the sound will be different. You can imagine such a statement. It will not be win, win, win. The way it will come, you know that one will kill you. You'll be talking and somebody is showing you his hand. So, you know, crazy stuffs. Some don't have hand. Some will show you two places they shoot them gun. They are not consoled. They are there the way they are. There are some soldiers, as I speak to you, they are legless. They don't have leg. I was telling my boy there, I said, if they give you useless order, just say yes, sir, don't do it. You can imagine the thousands of soldiers who are dying. Yet you are saying that they are prodigal son. If they return, we shall have mercy on them. Unbelievable. This is the kind of country you are hoping for. This kind of people are seeing there to change, to bring a new day to this country. It will never happen. You are the salt of the earth. See, we must begin with an agenda. We must be living every day with an agenda. In your school, have an agenda. See, if we don't push, there will be no new day for Nigeria. As you are preaching the gospel on your campus, you are preaching to the leaders of tomorrow. Something is going to happen to this nation because of what you are doing today. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Some of us may not live to see these things, but it will surely happen. I tell you that is what it means for you to live. These are the detriments of living with an agenda. You want to change this world? It starts today. The Bible likens the kingdom to yeast, that it is small, but yet it has great effect. You put the yeast in a little flour, it puffs it up. It puffs it up. I mean, little yeast. We may be small, but we can carry. We have great effect. We may be small in bare ways, but we have great effect. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? If you preach the gospel every day and I preach the gospel every day, this state will change one day. It will not be known for cultism. Don't think that the evil are too much. How can we change it? People of God, we can change it. It starts now. If you are living for money, there is no hope for this world. Not even hope for you, because you will not end up having that money. The Bible said, they that set their eyes on rubies shall end in nothing. He said, but they that set their eyes on wisdom, he said, they shall end in plenty. Meaning money does not even like people that are pursuing them. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. Yeah, you must be living for something bigger than yourself. What is that thing bigger than yourself? The kingdom. Why do you think we do what we are doing every day? Why do you think we stress ourselves unnecessarily? Some people think we are stressing ourselves unnecessarily. I was talking to my leaders. I said, I cannot tell the number of people I've paid house rent for. I cannot tell the number of people I've done this for and done that for. Not because of anything. It is called kingdom investment. When I see a man who loves the Lord, I can't leave you walking on the street. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I will make sure you have a conducive environment, train you, because I know you are an investment for the kingdom. I told them we may be doing it and you think it's just literally messy. No, we are pursuing an agenda. We are pursuing an agenda. And I was trying to explain to them the difference between mercy and grace. God, out of his mercy, came and died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us to the end that we receive grace. Grace, from the root word, is charis in Greek. Grace is not just unmerited favor. When you say it like that, you will not touch the meaning, the essence of grace. If, for instance, you are always coming to church late from welfare quarters, how do I help you not to come to church late? If I give you a car, you will not come late again, probably. So if I observe that the trekking is why you are coming late, grace is me giving you a car. You are celebrating the car, but to the end that the car brings you to church early. So the grace of God has appeared to all men, not so that we are just saying unmerited favor, to the end that we can say no to all form of ungodliness. So why did he die for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us? So that the Bible will conclude and say, in Romans 6:6, he said the old nature was destroyed on the cross. That's grace. Romans 6:7, he said he that is dead with Christ, he is free from sin. That's grace. So he died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, so that the nature of sin will be destroyed. So that you have no limitation for kingdom purpose. So now you can live for God freely. Why? Because grace has appeared to all men. It has removed all hindrances. That's the reason for grace. But many people mistaken grace for mercy. They mistaken it. They think anytime they just sin, God will just pick them up. No! If you observe, God's purpose for Peter was to walk upon water. Not like purpose entirely in life. In that situation, God wanted Peter to walk upon water. Did God help Peter when he was sinking? Yes. But was God excited? If you look at the scripture, God was not pleased that Peter was sinking in the water. He reached out to Peter and removed him and took him. You know, one of my friends told me, he said, when God helped Peter, you know, Jesus was on the water. Peter was sinking in the water. He said, when God removed Peter, where did Peter walk upon before they entered the boat? They still walked upon water. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Before they entered the boat, God wanted Peter to walk upon water. But while he was sinking, God helped him. God will help you while you are sinking, but he wants you to walk upon water. What am I trying to say? Anytime you sin, God will help you. Anytime you sin, God will help you. But God wants you to walk upon sin. He wants you to live above sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He said the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching them how to say no. The Bible said by one man sin has entered the world. Romans 5. He said, but by one man again, Jesus, we have received the gift of grace to reign on the earth. To reign. That word has a connection with the word kingdom, Baxilia. It is the manifestation of the nature of a king in the Greek. The meaning of that word there, to reign. That means a king should reign. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? In other words, if you are a king, reign. So grace has come for you to express kingship. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? So that you are able to bring the agenda of God into manifestation, which is kingdom. We can't be living anyhow. And that's why Paul said that, don't you know all form of unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom? He said, don't you know that sin cannot inherit the kingdom? Don't you know that that cannot inherit the kingdom and this cannot inherit the kingdom? Because it's a kingdom call. The agenda is kingdom. And if we are living anyhow, it cannot be fulfilled. Meanwhile, Satan at this point will try to make sure that all of us are confused, including me, your pastor. He will try. If he tried for Jesus, he will try for me, he will try for you. If you shout, I am who God says I am, he's not pleased till he comes to you and you prove him that you are who God says that you are. No matter what you say, Satan will stick up. He will try. He will try. Are you listening to me tonight? He will try. He wants to cut you all out from everything that will make you capacitated for this kingdom agenda. That is why the number one thing Satan attacks is the church. I was showing something on Tuesday in Hebrews 10 and 25. That after Paul was done telling us about all the things Jesus did for us in the new creation, the next thing Paul will say is not to neglect the assembly of the brethren. The next thing, what is the connection? That after telling us everything Jesus has done for us, the next thing Paul is saying, don't neglect. Because this is where, if you look at verse 24, he says it is a place of order. That is where you get garnished and capacitated. Look at 25 again. He calls it the assembly. The assembly. In Hebrew, in Ephesians 4, down through 11 and 14, you will see Paul explaining how that gifts have been given to the church. Apostles, prophets, and etc. The fivefold ministry. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. Meaning, the day you become born again, the next thing that should happen is that you enter into this spiritual school. Just that, just like you now, when you were giving birth physically, what happened after a few years? They put you inside school so that you can understand life and be fortified for destiny, isn't it? That's how it is. You have a spiritual destiny too to manifest. And it's more important than your physical destiny. In fact, it will help you facilitate and do well the physical destiny. There's a spiritual school. The day you become born again, you are supposed to enter into that school. That's why Paul said something in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, so that you may know. Where will your eyes be enlightened? Not in your house, in that school. So when you come there, the fivefold ministry perfects you as a saint. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Meanwhile, Satan wants us, as I'm saying it like this, that's how it is. He wants you to neglect and detest the church. Especially with the excuse of what other churches have done. You may be coming from somewhere where you have been abused. I tell you, there are people who have been abused in churches. I mean sexually abused. There are other people who the pastor have stolen their money and etc. But where are you supposed to be? It's not a mosque. It is the church. Now there are schools. What I'm trying to say is now is that there are schools that you have gone to that they are doing expo in WAEC. There are schools you have gone to that teachers don't come for lectures. So will you say because I've gone to two schools and teachers don't come for lectures, I will not go to school again? What will you do? You will change to another school that teachers come for lectures. So if you have been to a church that is not representing Christ properly, what do? You change. But are you always supposed to be in church? Yes. That's the place for spiritual fortification. Now one point I want to hit here is that, I said it on Tuesday, many people just think it's gathering. If you look at the word, there is assembling. The Bible said, do not what? Neglect the assembling. Assembling is different from gathering. I can gather part of a machine together, but if I don't assemble them rightly, it will not function properly. So you see, when you come to church, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:12 down towards 25, he said there are different parts of a body. God did not make the body is not just made up with the eye. If the body only has the eye, then what would be the function? What if the body the eye needs to carry something? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It will need a hand. That's how it is in a church. When you come to church, you are fortified and you are assembled in a place that you can serve God properly. If you are not part of the assembling, you are not part of the kingdom. You are not helping the kingdom move forward. The church is how God on the earth is facilitating his agenda. What is his agenda? As it is in, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. It is through the church he wants to bring heaven to the face of the earth. But if we are not assembled properly, that cannot be possible. And do you know that it is very, very possible that just a little knot in a machine is making the machine not to function properly? Yes. Just imagine that everybody here submits to God to get fortified and allow themselves to be assembled in the right place in the church so that they can function for God's agenda. Imagine how beautiful the church will be. That was his prediction, or the prophecy of the end time army. He said, I'm going to send an army upon the face of the earth. He said, before them a fire divorce. He said, behind them is a desolate land. He said, nothing shall escape them. Why will nothing escape them? He said, because they will not break their ranks. Meaning they know their assignment and they are doing their assignment. The one who is fetching water in church is fetching water. Not saying my fetching water is lower than somebody singing. Mm-mm. You know your place and you are doing it. That's what makes you a soldier. You know your responsibility, you are doing it. That's what makes you part of the end time army. If you are not doing it, you are negating the kingdom. It is like worshiping God with your mouth, but your heart is far away from the Lord. Now, if our assembling as brethren is how the kingdom's eye there, the kingdom's agenda, God's agenda is facilitated upon the face of the earth, don't you think that Satan will fight you being committed to a local assembly? Don't you think Satan will fight you functioning properly in the church? Don't you think Satan will make sure that you are not assembling in the right function, in the right place? Don't you think so? Because he does not want the machine to work. That machine called church. He doesn't want that machine to work. So he will cause troubles in your heart. He will cause division. Because without unity, we cannot facilitate that agenda. We cannot function as a machine and bring about the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Don't you think he's the one that will make you feel lukewarm sometimes? Many people are not aware of this, but it's the reality. You wake up sometimes, you don't feel like going to church. Because a lot of times people don't even see the advantage of going to church. They've not understood kingdom. If you understand kingdom, you must want to go to church. You must. I've taught in this place countless times being sick. I've taught here countless times with sickness. I'm telling you the truth. Countless times, I can't tell you how many times I've taught here. I've stood there one time, I was wearing my shoe, my protocols were scared, wondering whether I should wear a palm to come and teach. My flesh was literally caught in a particular place. When I put it in, I shouted, in my office. And they were wondering how I would teach until they saw me moving here, and immediately I rushed to remove the shoe. I have to preach. That's how Paul behaved. He carried wounds and went to preach. Before they arrested him, he said, I've already arrested myself. At a certain point, he ran. He removed himself from a building through the window. They carried a basket. He ran away for his life because they wanted to kill him. Who is this guy propagating the kingdom like this? We have a narrative that the body of Jesus was stolen. But this guy called Paul. There are a lot of Christians, but why is this guy disturbing us everywhere? Paul can enter a city and change the narrative. They used to worship one Babalawo, one God. Paul will enter and everybody will start following Christ. They've traced many revivals in different cities to Paul. And they say, let us kill this guy. Sometimes they'll come together, they'll stone him, and they'll think he's dead. When the disciples' true life story, when the disciples will come and start, you know, looking at the corpse of Paul, the Bible said at the part of scripture in the book of Acts, that Paul will stand up and dust himself. He will not rest. The Bible says he's going to another city to go and preach. Because something has consumed him. Are you people getting me tonight? He said, I'm alive. I saw this. Is it 1 Corinthians 9 there about? He said, I'm alive. 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm alive, fully spent for the gospel. Meaning, he's telling God, I'm like currency. Spend me to get a city. God, if you want to get Jerusalem, use me to get it. God, if you want to get Rome, use me to get it. One time, the Bible said somebody came to Agabus or something. He used to be a prophet. He came to Paul and said, "I see that they will kill you in Rome. Romans are very deadly people. They will kill you if you are not careful." The Bible said, why people were crying? Because Paul had made up his mind. They know him. He must go. Why they were crying? Jesus appeared to Paul and told Paul. Now, Jesus has already spoken to Paul before even that prophet was prophesying. Paul told them to stop crying, that even if they cry till tomorrow, he will go. That Jesus has told him to go and to face the persecution for his name's sake. I'm talking about the Jesus you serve. Now, this Jesus may know that the road is dangerous. That is why some of us, we will tell you that some things that happen in the church, they are rubbish. Because if Jesus can tell Paul that enter Rome and go and preach, knowing the dangers there, you cannot tell us that before you go to a church to preach, they must have 5 million. You are an antichrist. You don't have the Lord in your heart. If you observe this Gen Z generation, the only call they receive is to US. Ministry expansion is UK. You will never hear Otukpo. God never calls anybody to Okpoga. Because the people there are not qualified to hear the gospel. To them, it is from Jerusalem, meaning your surrounding environment, to Judea, then to the uttermost part of the earth. This Jerusalem for us as a church is being wasted. Judea is every other part. Then the uttermost part of the earth is the nations. But people have this false narrative today that the only way to prove that God is expanding you is US. UK. That is why we don't have people who are passionate with kingdom in their heart, God's agenda in their heart. They are not burning like John G. Lake. We celebrate them, but we don't want to pay the same price they paid. I don't necessarily talk about the impact of these people in terms of the miraculous, but I'm so excited to God for their lives in terms of consecration. I'm talking about somebody who is a doctor living a wonderful life, and he will hear the Spirit of God say, "Stand up and go to South Africa." He stood up, carried his wife. Thank God for the kind of wife he had. Carried his children en route South Africa. Entered and they were going. No money. What a risk. Tell somebody in God you can put all your eggs in one basket. The man was so sure God is at the end of everything. Going and wondering how he will survive in this new land. And God told him that, "I have told a woman to come and take care of you." How many of you will stand up and go to a part of the world if God just told you, "I have told a woman to come and take care of you"? You don't know the woman. God gave me the phone number. He did not give phone number. He just told you, "I told the woman to take care of him." He was reaching there, and the woman felt like, she just felt like going there after praying. And when she went, she saw him. She said, "This is the man I saw in my vision." And she ran to him. "I saw you in my vision. The Lord said I should give you so amount of money to start his work, blah, blah, blah." That's how he started. Preach the gospel in South Africa. If you are talking about Christianity in South Africa now, you call John G. Lake. I hope you get what I'm trying to say now. Even Nigeria, yeah, we want to talk about Christianity, we will not finish without calling people like Reinhard Bonnke. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Pai Dausa, yes, Reinhard Bonnke, Pa Elty. We can't talk about Christianity without talking about them. It's not possible. But the question is, can we find people who can leave their city to other cities in this generation? A generation that what they are promising you is mansion in heaven and mansion on earth. No sacrifice, no fire for sacrifice. You can't fulfill God's agenda when all you are thinking of is who to marry and who not to marry. A selfish life thinking of wife and children. I'm not saying you should not think about your wife and children, but that's too small compared to what God wants you to think about. You got to think about nations. You can't thread all the fire in your life to a man to marry. At the altar of a man you want to marry. With everything God wants to do to you, a man will tell you the only condition is that, "I don't like your church. I don't like the way you pray in tongues too much. I think this will not help the family." To hell with such a man. Are you listening to me? There are many men. Most ladies always feel like when a man wants to marry them, he's doing them a favor. Because some of them think they are ugly. I'm being very real. Some women think they are ugly. Some women think they are not enough. If a man says, "I want to marry you," it is like everything in this world to them. "You want to marry me? Oh my God. Really?" They tell their mother. And if he coughs, are you angry? Are you angry? Anything he says, they are ready to follow. In fact, some will carry their money and be supporting him. I'm not saying the right support. I mean the wrong support. Because they feel worthless. They feel useless. No woman is ugly. No man too is ugly. They said beauty lies in the eyes of what? The beholder. you are somebody's special speck. The problem is that you may not be patient to wait for that person. And you can only somebody say, Pastor, out of the plenty million of men in this world, how will I see my husband? You are thinking too much. Do not take a thought by saying, how shall this thing be? Just be in God, you will find a husband in God. God has a way to connect you people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Your best friend today, how did you meet your best friend? You say, we're just at the lecture hall, then we just looked at ourselves and smiled. Then we just went to eat together, and that's how we became best friends. If God can make you and you, who are from northeast to north central, become best friend, why will he not connect you to that man? He will connect you. The problem is that many people are not connected to God. That's why they will not be able to find their wives and husbands. And that's why they want to use human measures. But if you submit yourself to God, it is not hard. I never knew this woman from nowhere. I only knew her in BSU. In 100 level, I didn't know she was my wife. In 200 level, I didn't know this woman was my wife. You know why? I was in another relationship. I was so sure that woman, I will marry her. Even though they had warned me to break out, my spiritual father told me, break out. I said, I love her. He said, break out. I said, I love her. He said, did you hear God? I said, no, but I love her. I disobeyed my spiritual father. He was so kind. He told me, no problem. Let's flow. And he smiled. He said, Simon in love. He said, but remember this day, you will break out one day. In my heart, I said, I will not break up one day. The way we love ourselves, there was no room for breakout. I didn't see any time. If you have broken up, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You will not even see the trace. And I'm not prophesying breakup to you. I'm just telling you how it works. Take for instance, you are in love with somebody now. You see the way people are in love one day. You may break up one day. But the point I'm trying to say, I'm not prophesying breakup. The point I'm trying to say is that all of us, that time were in love like you now. Doesn't mean you will not marry, but I want you to know how much we really meant it. We now broke up one day. You know, the day I broke up, it did not occur to me in the afternoon till I went home in the evening to bath. So when I broke up, I was still eating, I was doing my things normal. So I went back home and I on my shower and water poured on my head. My head now calmed down. And I said, wait, I'm not in a relationship again. Oh, that's what I told myself. So I now sat down in the bedroom. And the water was for me, man of God. I never believed. I sat under the water, the shower, for like 5 minutes. I was asking myself, so this is how I broke up. So all my life now, I now broke up. I said, God, why did I enter? I was thinking of the years I wasted. Oh my God. Oh my God. And they warned me on the second day of that relationship. Second day. I entered first day. Prophecy came second day. They called me out. Simon! The man was preaching. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. God wants to do mighty things with you. That is why he's instructing you to leave certain relationships. For instance, God will take a relationship with you because of what he wants to do with your life. So some of you may be in wrong relationship. You will leave that relationship. He didn't know my name was Simon. He said, Simon! And you see, the funny thing is that he pointed me in the service. He said, that is why when God wants to do business with you, he will say, Simon! I looked at him. He looked at me. Then he changed his face. Upon this rock I will build my church at the gate of heaven. He didn't know me as Simon. When he was preaching, he looked at me in the congregation and said, you, God wants to do mighty things with you. You are hearing me, right? I said, yes. He said, I feel like you are the only one understanding me in this meeting. I said, by God's grace, sir. During the impartation, he said, come forward. I was the first person he laid hands upon and started speaking. I was crying and telling God that I'm breaking up that night. How he entered 4 years is what I'm explaining to you now. I went back home in the night. She now called again. Hey, baby. Everything vanished. Every prophecy. Everything on my head. I forgot it. Everything. That's how he went to 4 years old. I forced this thing to work. You know when you are pushing tractor? So no tractor. How many of you have used manual cars before? When the car stops, I want to push it to start. Oh my God. We were pushing this thing to start. No matter what we say in the relationship, we say, God is using it to build us. He's using us to using this thing to make us. No woman can be perfect. God is using this situation to make me strong as a man. Blah, 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 blah. We preach those things. In fact, at the point my pastors observed that I became a relationship teacher as a student on campus. All my Sunday messages was on relationship. Meanwhile, God had an agenda with me. I was pursuing this agenda. She was admiring it, but she cannot picture herself into it. That after like 3 years of the relationship, the name of my ministry was not known. They did not know the name of my ministry. Glory, Kari, 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 Kari. And my friend shouted, Kari, so. Meanwhile, the reason he shouted is so that I will know that he knows that I'm in a foolish thing. When she left, he said, Glory, Kari. After 3 years, Kari. Say, man of God, this one, you need to help her. She can't help you. But we still push it. We say, no, it's because it's just a mistake. We still pushed it. One time, somebody I want to marry does not even know my potentials. She saw me writing. She said, you have been the one writing for the past 4 years that I see. I said, yes. She said, ah, I thought you were copying a book. I said, I'm copying a book. I said, I'm not copying any book. It's all from my spirit. I've been the one right. So you didn't know I'm the one right. Said, they were so nice. I didn't know. They were so nice. You understand? They were so nice. I didn't look like the person who write those nice stuff. Barashka, barashka. I was just baby. I was fish sometimes. And I, at the time that it was ready, I told the Lord told me, he said, just one thing and we'll touch greatness. I said, Lord, what was that? He said, you have to sow a seed. I said, Lord, what was that? He said, this lady now, like Isaac, offer her at the altar of sacrifice. I want to take her. I said, God, is there any other way out? A man called me, he said, Simon, the Lord said there's something you have to do now to determine your next level of ministry. I said, tell me, what was that? He said, I don't know. God said, I should tell you, you know. I said, I don't know. Ask God. A man of God came to preach. I so much respect him. So I met him. We were just talking. He said, Simon, God told you something. You know what to do. Why are you not doing it? I said, what did God tell me? He said, you know it. So I went back home. I did not break it up. I just spoke. When the thing wanted to break, I just allowed it to break. Before, if he wants to break, I would just try to keep it. Now, I just said, okay, it's fine. If I never, never, never allowed that to go, I would have not met this orange juice today. Now, I'm doing ministry so soft. See, I've never been called upon. Why are you praying the way you are praying? You are disturbing me and my baby. Nobody has ever told me that. Nobody can ever tell me that. Because I don't have option B. There's no day I've gone to the house and food. What did I say? Are not prepared for me. I go to play ball, they are food. I come back, they are food. I change my mind concerning the food. They will prepare food. You know, I was talking to her sister one time. I said, I don't know why your sister don't want to come and meet you people outside the country. She's the only one that is here. I said, I told her to go and meet people. I was just trying to play one wayo. I said, I told her that she should go and meet you people. But she said she must marry me. She must marry me. If not me, I told her to go and meet her people I enjoy life for. Me, I'll stay in my cordio. This is her answer. We don't know why she chose, though. She wanted to do that, but I'm sure she knows the best for herself. I said, probably. She now said, you are doing like you don't know. I said, I don't know. I don't know. A woman that will look at the UK, US, and say, I want to be in Makodi for kingdom, she must be with you from the beginning. When God created you, he now created her. Else, there's nothing you can use to explain this to me again. Because I know some of you have that as your New Year prayer. Lord, UK, just a window in UK, and I'll never be in Africa again. A window, Lord, in UK. I will never turn my back. If I turn, change me to a salt. Some have said, Lord, if anything makes me to leave this country, I will whether they are killing me, choking me knife, I will not come back. I rather park dirty on the streets of UK. I'm telling you the truth. But this one will just go and visit and come back. Go and visit and come back. But listen, most importantly, why is it that some of us, we are completely just sold out to the Lord? I was telling somebody, I said, even my daughter will go to UK and US before me. I have not seen it. She'll go and see it before I see it. And I have zero, no worries in my heart. Nothing in my heart. Because you see, we are working based on an agenda. The UK will go. It's not fancy. We'll go to just change systems there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I will send you to UK. After some of you have gone to Okboga, it's just the truth. You see, Zaki Biam, you must go. See, except I'm not your part, you can change yours so that you don't go. I will send you to Okboku before I send you. If you have not tested Okboku in this ministry, you cannot test Orlando. It's not possible. You will not go. This is the kind of training I want to see. Somebody's agenda. Why are you not following women in the university? Agenda. Why are you not stealing during exam? Agenda. Why do you want to pass so much so that you become an lecturer and the HOD and a VC? Agenda. Because if you become HOD, you will change stuff. You make sure kingdom come. When you become VC, you make sure kingdom come. Why do you want to become the best engineer so that they will make you a minister one day? Tell somebody, fight for the kingdom. Not just by reading Bible and praying in tongues. You know, there's a part of scripture I saw. I want to say it before we close. In the book of Chronicles, where men made where there were engineers in the Bible that made machines. I saw it and I was very, very surprised. 2 Chronicles 26:15. 26:15. I want us to read together in the TPT rendition. The TPT rendition. Second Chronicles 26:15. Very fast media. 26:15. 26:15. I will read from my end. I don't know what is happening with the media. It said, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Let's read together. Give me the TPT rendition. The TPT rendition. It's not in the TPT. Do we have it in the Message rendition? Alright, let's read together. One, two, go. He also installed the latest in ministry technology on the towers and the corners of Jerusalem for shooting and what? He became what? Everything seemed to go his way. We are talking about a man in Jerusalem. See how God inspired him. It's not all of us that will go and be preaching like me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you will be in engineering field. Some of you will be doctors. See what God did. He installed the latest in military technology on the towers of and the corners of Jerusalem for shooting arrows and hurling stones. Some of you, God will give you inspiration to make machines. Are you here in this place? It is part of the agenda. It is part of fulfilling the agenda. It starts now. Separate yourself. Come out from amongst them. Separate yourself. Touch not the unclean. Fight for purity. Fight for purity. Fight for purity. See, let me tell you something very sincere. Some of us crawled on the ground and said, God, we'd rather die battling to touch you than to walk in sin. And when God was able to open our eyes to these revelations, today we are standing and giving it to you in a very simple way. You did not really suffer like we suffer to touch these things and were given to you. You have more than enough to avoid sin. Are you listening to me tonight? More than enough. Don't just be stubborn. Do not neglect the word. Accept. The most important thing is that when you are stubborn to the Lord, He will raise stones, but it will be the most terrible thing on the earth for God to look at you, dump you, and choose somebody else. You may never be able to be you will never be excited in this world if God dumps you for another person. You will never find peace. It's the worst thing that can happen to you. You know, a lot of people think Satan always offers them an option B. If you leave God, there's something for you out there. I was telling pastors yesterday, there was a leader in this church who used to snap. You've heard him come several times and say, I did not know how to do anything. I came to church. Prophet said I should just enter the media, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden I started. Now he became well known for photography. From nothing to being known for photography. Everywhere in town and beyond town. And was receiving good money. When I observed that the thing was destroying him, I called him to my office. Some of them are aware. I remember one time he bought the latest phone. And I said, go and return it and use that money to invest on your life. I don't like fancy. I said, how can you be a leader and you are buying the latest iPhone from your money? Go and return it. He went and returned it. I said, use the money. Don't give us. Don't give church. Use it to invest in your life rightly. Don't be a fool. And I started advising him carefully. But at some point, I don't think he listened. The money started getting to his head. What was supposed to bless him now is destroying him. And I called him one day to my office. I said, when you walk, I give anybody you see that misbehave, I've given them like countless prophetic words. I said, when you walk, I was teaching and I came close to him. You know when a corpse is smelling? Somebody is, have you heard this word in Hausa? They call mushi. They did not cut the neck of the chicken. It just died like that and it's smelling. I said, you are like a dead corpse stinking. I'm not trying to insult you. I said, you stink like somebody that is dead already. I said, are you praying? He looked at me. I said, are you fasting? Are you staying with the word? He couldn't say a word. I said, go back and stay with the word. Go back and stay with prayer. Else Satan will finish you. Those were my last words to him. One of the days on a Tuesday, I called him before service. I said, I've tried all my best. People will not know, but heaven, you and myself and some of your friends and pastors here, they know I've tried all my best. I've been telling you to do the right thing. The day you destroy yourself, only you will be destroyed. And you remember that I have always spoken to you. He didn't listen. Finally, it started happening to him. The father too, that was so much my person, you know, all of them, you know, is their children. They started speaking negative words. I said nothing. I kept quiet. You know, several times he was even arrested, I think, in Abuja one time when a member that did not know housed him stole some things. And I was asking pastors, I said, how can somebody who has followed God like this come to that point that now he's stealing? Satan always deceived them that there is something better for them out there. Whatever you are receiving as somebody who loves the Lord and are dedicated with your business, you think it was not enough. You wanted to go out there and get even more. And now see what has become of him. Until one of the person that left with them came to my office and said, sir, so person, we saw him in a white garment church. He was going to line up for powers for Yahoo. I said, powers for Yahoo? And when they left my office, I put my hand. My tears started filling my eyes. I couldn't believe it. I said, powers for Yahoo? He told Eve, he said, if you eat from this tree, you will not die. Your eyes will just be open. You will not die. Your eyes will just open. I mean, you can just be anywhere serving God. You don't need to be plugged to your local assembly. I was talking with a lady, one of the HODs yesterday. She was complaining bitterly of somebody in church. And I said, these people sometimes they are foolish. They think that the kind of actions they see here, they will see it out there. I mean, you come to a place where people love you genuinely. You have a problem, we will gather money and give you genuinely. It does not happen anywhere. Go and stay in your office. Go and work in a private firm and see what other kind of thing will happen. You have the slightest problem, we send people who are all gathered there, making sure nothing touches you. I've confronted police. I've confronted military people for people I call my members. And I can do it anytime. We've done the best sacrifice we can do for anybody. And I said, she was not said, and this person, you know, if I tell you the story, some of you may be able to figure out, but I don't want you to figure it out at all. Because sometimes people can be weak and they can be strong, but it is foolishness yet, and I'm trying to, you know, to teach wisdom so that such a person can come out from foolishness. After the helps and the rest and the rest, I said, these people, they just think that it is their right to receive this kind of, you know, things. That's why they behave like that. When they go outside and Satan hits them, You have a friend in church, because you will burn your face one day, you just got angry. Say, you now go to NYC camp, you now have a best friend there. You will know what they call friendship. Just, it's just a matter of months. You see that one you do, they will come and tell you, if I have done anything to you, I want you to forgive me. When you are the one that is at fault, that one will say God will punish you and your father. That's when you know that it is better to be in the ark with all the smell than to be in the world. I told you on Tuesday, in the ark, how many of you will be in the days of Noah? And when they say enter ark, you will see crocodile shit. Pig shit in the ark. I will not enter. Because two animals. That means they entered ark. They were hearing coo, coo, coo. They were hearing boo, 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 boo. They were hearing meow, meow. Everybody with his wife and children in the ark. Cow, poo, poo. The water will pass everywhere. Did you hear that anybody verse and say, I'm leaving the ark, I can't take this now? Nobody left the ark. You want to leave ark? If you leave ark, where are you entering? Flood. No matter what was happening in the ark is the safest place. That's why Jesus told you, don't neglect the gatherings, the assembling of the bread. No matter what happens, you are there functioning for the machine to work. That machine, if that your part is removed, the machine will not work. What did they do to you that is so much troubling to you that you want to leave? What did they do? You don't understand kingdom. Say somebody did not talk to me nice. They did not celebrate my birthday. I will not come to the church again. They bought cake for somebody. He reached my door. They did not buy me cake. Why are you now angry? Cake. If God asks you tomorrow, why did you leave the church? Sir, during my birthday, they don't buy me cake. You will be whipped. See, God will give you slap. You've seen his character. He used to slap. What is slap? He used to fire people koboko. You know, some people think God does not slap. God is like this. Oh, did he not do that? I won't beat you, my baby. Jesus. Michael. Pia. If he flogged on the earth, he flogs in the heaven. He will flog you. He will flog you. Look at the book of Revelation. You will fear God. You say, one thing I have against you. Why are you not dedicated in church? Why are you affecting the assembly? Why?
The other day, Pastor Peter talked to me and he squeezed his mouth.
Why will he squeeze his mouth? I'm a human being. I'm not even his mate. Some of you, your bosses in the office, you used to do like this to the Carol. You don't know their age. Because they pay you 26,000, 50,000 every month. It is Sama. You go and be carrying back. Ma, can I help you to carry the back, man? He that sees in the secret. But in church, if breeze blow in your direction, you are not happy. Why did the usher allow breeze to blow Lemmy? I'm leaving this church for them. I've had enough. I came to the church, courage saw me and he backed me. That means he's still angry with me. I came to the... What of the good things they did for you in the church? And do you know something? I've observed sometimes that some people who are matured in church can be so childish. I remember there's somebody like that in this church one time. He was misbehaving and I called him to my office. I said, why are you misbehaving? In other ministries, if you are misbehaving like this, they will push you. You know, that one even involved my wife. My wife was HOD. He was not behaving well in the department. It was during my wife's time as an HOD that Pastor K was converted. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He was a very stubborn pastor. Stand up, let us see you. What is pastor? Very stubborn member. He used to tell my wife his mind. My wife will still be pastoring him, no problem. If my wife give up on somebody, that means that person should be worse than Pastor K. But it was during my wife's time that this man of God became a pastor. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? One day he changed. My wife now told me. She said, sir, I think this man deserves to be given member of the year. I said, how? Is it not this guy that is, sir, he has changed. This is 3 months now. He is the best. He comes first for church. He goes last. He's everything in church. I say, eh? Okay, let's give him member of the year. We gave him. One day I was praying. I want to anoint 3 pastors. Rebaga, ba, 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 ba. Lord, give me their name. Shabaka. And I hear Kenneth. I said, maybe it's because I'm thinking of him these days. I said, Kelechi. I called my wife in the night. I said, guess what I heard? I said, Kelechi. He said, it's a mistake. I said, hey, me too, I think like that. He said, no, let's not be deceived by his 3-month change. Maybe he's just trying to look for something. We don't know. I know that time he used to follow one girl in church that I used to see him greeting one girl very well. So I thought maybe he was repenting for the girl. But on the day of the anointing, the commissioning of those pastors, when I wanted to anoint them, the Lord still said, add that man, that brother, add him to the list. And I called my wife, I said, I'm adding. She said, Pastor Simon, come. I said, I'm adding. God told me, forget that rubbish. We don't hear our wives every time. I added him. And since that time till now, I always used to tell people, he is one of the most committed, dedicated pastors we have in church. In fact, through him, I've even stabilized Pastor Anne very well. You can imagine. There are a lot of time I've put this girl's head in order through this man. But she was first a pastor before this man. But if I want to arrange her head sometime, I'll call him and say, arrange that woman's head. That's just the simple thing. You just press the button and everything is arranged. Are you seeing it now? So anybody can be used by God. Don't break the assembly. You are playing drum in church. They make you angry. I'll leave. I'll leave this church. You are joking with me. Nobody plays drum better than me. Like, I'm going. They say, come back. I say, okay. If you find my trouble again, I leave. Thank God, Elam is rising. My wife was telling me he plays drum. I said, plays drum. She said, yes, she saw him playing drum. He will play the drum. He said, I will raise those. When that guy was there, it seemed like nobody can. It was in my front. He started photography. See, when we started that thing, he would snap picture. I was the one editing it. But he would take the glory. Our first set of pictures, I edited for almost 1 year. But I never taught church till he knew how to edit. There is nothing I don't know small. Small, jack of all trade. One day, an uncle Jerry, I said, hey, be teaching this boy photography. It just down in my spirit. I said, start teaching this boy. He said, sir, I said, whatever you have learned, anyhow you learned it, be teaching this boy. He said, hey, teaching the boy. I'll be calling and supervising. Then one day, down on me, I called him. I said, if you leave today, I've seen your replacement. He didn't even know what I meant by that. You know, sometimes you think you must know everything before God will use you. It's a lie. I don't need people that know everything. I just need people that have idea. If you have idea and you're under me, you must be a master in that field. Except I will study that field to teach you the field. The media can tell you I was the first person that taught them live streaming in this church. It was me that taught them. They came to my house for 1 week. We studied it together. And when I found it, I showed them. In fact, they've not improved beyond that till now. I've always been talking to them. The software I taught them is the software they are still using till today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Today is not there. The Jerry is snapping. I hope the Jerry is thinking well, because if he's not thinking well, the replacements, oh boy. You can never outsource God. You can never. If you think you can pray, there's somebody that prays better than you. If you think you can preach, there's somebody that preaches better than you. If you think you can sing, there are many that sing better than you. Elijah said, God, I don't verse. Nobody serve you like me. Nobody. Me? Look at what I've faced for you. I've gone through this storm. Thick and thin. I'm going. I've had enough. He did not hear God say anything. You not talk anything, God? He said, go now. I want to open door. He said, which door do you want to open? He said, there are many that have not bowed to Baal. There are many. It's their time to shine. He said, God, I'm not going again. It's just like S. When S see you with present, S want to come back. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Elijah heard that God wants to bring a new one. He said, God, no. There are many that God can use you to repair. I'm not trying to say that God does not like you, but the day you want to mess up, there are many. Meanwhile, it would be nice that you don't break the assembly. Are you listening to me? Know that it's Satan. I was talking with some leaders yesterday. They told me somebody that left here is about to get married. Just a few months. About to get married. I said, married to who? I was telling my wife. My wife nearly broke in tears. She said, but Simon, we cannot allow this. We cannot allow this. I said, okay. I just entered my room and locked the door. Stop it if you can. So he said, Pastor, he has a strong heart. Nothing used to worry me. So should, I should come and kneel down and cry so that you know that things are worrying me. I'm not a coward. Some people want to make you feel like you want to please the whole world. Now you can't.
Somebody not to.
It's rubbish. I'm a man, not a girl. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I entered my room. I said, Satan, I see what you did there. You have carried burdens in your... You want to liberate nations. You have prophesied all the prophecy. Then little offense. See, if you don't deal with that thing now, the thing will deal with you. It will find that stupid thing now in your heart. Remove it. Little foxes spoil the vine. Little. You see this thing that you must talk to 5 girls in a day? It will kill you one day if you don't kill it. You see this thing now that every boy that you are friends with every boy, it will kill you if you don't kill it. We don't know who is your true friend. Everybody is a bestie. It will kill you if you don't kill it. You see this thing that any small thing, you and a boy are doing video calls. It will kill you if you don't kill it. You don't have boundaries. You don't have boundaries as a woman. See, I was telling the Lord one time, that time I had strong heart. Now I don't have strong heart again. I was telling God that time. I said, God, any lady that don't have boundaries, I will not talk to. We won't talk. Mama T had a friend that we stayed from Remedias. I used to have strong heart those days. Remedias T, she became Mama T's friend. They were Mama T's coursemate. Mama T observed that I was not... The day I saw that lady in church, I was shocked. I had never spoken to her. Not because of anything, but because I know her stories. So I just wanted to be far. I remember one day, I put earpiece. I saw her in a bus. As I entered the bus, I just put earpiece and started praying it on. Because I didn't just want to talk. That was wrong. I used to feel like, how can you be a lady? Every boy you are laughing with, your teeth is shining everywhere. Like the son of heaven. Nobody will value you now. Say, fine girl. Why that? Men don't like anything that is everywhere. Oxygen is more important than gold. But people value gold more than oxygen. You know why? Because oxygen is everywhere. Let God remove oxygen from you. You will die now. You will not touch all those gold you are looking for. Don't be everywhere. You have a boyfriend. Let him not touch your body. Let him die. Say, I will die if I don't touch. Say, die. You will resurrect in Christ. Let him not touch. Because if he touch your body, you will not value that body. Let him be admiring the body. Wear the gown and come. Just move around and go your thing. Let him see, but he can't touch. That's the power of a woman. That's what makes you to make sure to have a... You know, it is... That's the reason you're going to have the kind of man that God has destined for you. A man, you just see a man today is talking about your body. In fact, how to know he's a useless man? You just start speaking. He's like, oh boy, this body is tea, man. This body, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, what am I seeing like this? Can we go to Sky 4, man? Then you, because you hear Sky 4, you say, okay, no problem if you insist. Money? And some ladies, I feel like saying this, they think their husbands are not in Christ. Because the only thing they are thinking about when they think of husband is movies they have watched. Let me say something that will scatter this church. Hear me. Oh. Close the door. Usher, stay at the door. Listen to me carefully. We are all not children in this place. I know most ladies are thinking like that. I've heard it. When a relationship summit, when somebody asks one question, the pastor just tear the question sharp and put the paper. It was a very useless question. That, pastor, how will I know that what my husband has is enough if I don't test before marriage? The pastor just tear the paper and said, Pastor Simon, I could not answer that question. The problem is, what are you doing with every man before marriage? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What are you doing with what? We're in a generation that people are asking that useless question. I don't believe you'll be serving God like this and God will carry a man that does not function properly and say he should be your husband. God will not do that. You cannot test every man. Before when you finish testing, you'll be expired. Look at how the church is calm. I feel so ashamed of myself. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to teach you now. Don't be everywhere. Be very scarce. Are you listening to me? There are some of you young men who have destroyed your life relationship now. Relationship. You are just 21. Some of you just finished university. You think because you finished university, you should have a girlfriend. Now you are toasting people. You have a call of God in your life. It's toaster you have become. You are not working towards fulfilling that goal. You have become a toaster to the nations. The home according now, if they check the guests, if they are 100, you have toast like 70. MTN, everywhere you go. And I'm telling you, Christian brothers can be very indisciplined too. Very indisciplined. They come to church, a new guest join the choir. That's the guy they are timing. I told Pastor Emma, watch the boys. That's why it's not like that in this place. If not, every new guy that comes to choir. There's one time we're dealing with a case. They say, new guy, that's the guy ran away from choir. She joined choir. One of the leaders toasted her sharply. Sharply. You know what I mean? I used to teach this thing as it is. I don't used to cover it. I judged the case in my office now. They said Pastor Emma was not around. So he was in charge. They were in charge or something. And I told the girl that, you know you are fine. I just don't know. I can't keep it. It should not wait. I like you. You cannot say now. So now they do for you. And she just changed department and rushed to another department. When we're judging the case, I said, what did you say? Sir, I just said that she's beautiful. I said, you did not say. Like the guy says, sir, he said. Sir, I did not say. I said, you are in trouble. You can go. When the guy left, I dealt with him. You know, people that like women don't like me. People that like stealing, they don't like me. People that like darkness, they don't like me. If anybody say they don't like me, they don't like light. Because I don't used to hide my own people. If you sin in this church, you will become my friend for that season. I am friend of sinners. You must flow through consecration. I will catch you like this with the hand and walk with you. One will take you by the hand and lead you to places you don't want to go to. Except you want to run. If you want to be everywhere and be a sinner, no problem. I heard a pastor say somebody left their church and went and joined another church. They now made him a leader. Then after 2 years, 3 years, they now reported the case to him that brother that left your church, we want to ask you a question. He said, you did not ask me when he left. What is the question? They say he's impregnating every woman. And the problem is that they are getting twins. Anointed for twins. Sometimes they leave a church and run to another church where nobody knows them. Be grateful that your pastor knows you. Don't run away from where they know your sin. Stay there. Stay there. He that conciliates a sin is destroyed. The joy of growing up under our fathers those days was that they knew our weaknesses. My spiritual father knew all of my weaknesses. Somebody that will be sitting in the office when he sees a girl coming close to me or me going to a girl, he will leave when I'm done. He will say, who is that girl? Straight question. He says, sir, we're just greeting. He said, the way you were greeting was not nice. You were greeting with so much passion. You were just supposed to greet and move. Why do you think till today? I'm not trying to be so religious. My wife, I think one of her cousin or something observed something. So I think what they did is that now if they want to greet me, they force the hug. Because they observed that when they want to come and greet their in-law, hello, you now do his hand like so. One just removed my hand. I said, what is wrong with you? We are all in-laws. What is happening to you? I said, it's not because of anything, it's because of how I was trained. I'm not scared, but it has become part of me. I was taught to shake while I was growing up. That's why sometimes when I see these children, you know, where are the children in this church? Let me not mention, for somebody will say, pastor is calling us children. Looking at girls, I say, hey, my darling. Hey, baby, how are you? I'm my wife. In this church, we don't do that, you know. Now, you be my wife before. This is my current wife. You know those fellowship presidents, this thing. My former girlfriend, you are my present girl in church. We don't do it here. After church, you don't see them hold their hand together. Say, hey, leave me, your former wife. Don't disturb my present wife. They'll be doing like they are joking. Say, Pastor Simon is too legalistic. If you come to his church, people don't hold hands after service. Why will you hold hands with a lady you are not married to after service? In this church, whether you have seen the father, don't hold hands till you marry. Till you what? Don't hold hands. Say, no, me, I like holding hands. No problem. It will move to waste. And you'll be wasted. You know, when we talk like this, they say, maybe pastor does not have fire. No, there's a certain kind of maturity you have that when you hold a woman, you don't feel all of those things. Me, I understand grace. I am old enough to know all of these things. And I'm telling you, don't hold. You are telling me you know life more than me. Are you listening to me? We have an agenda. The day they know your sin, you are finished. You enter a class, you want to preach, and somebody say, Ima! Now you, they preach Jesus. Not be you, yet just day before I say the way, Ina can leave your house. Ima will be like, stop. Shh. Before you know, public disgrace. Tell somebody agenda. Even if you are doing makeup, let me even advise these people that do nails and makeup and all this. My wife is part of them. See, listen carefully. Don't be carried away by those things. I saw one picture Wanne posted yesterday. I was so excited for the picture. She was like an elderly woman talking to her younger daughter, saying that makeup does not make you beautiful. It's just fancy. You are beautiful. And the day you remove it from your face, don't think you are less beautiful. I think that's very important. Because I'd only tell my wife that she should not show my daughter her shop. But now I think I can allow her to show her the shop if she give her this wisdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because she makes nails and does this whatsoever. Hallelujah to Jesus. Don't allow those things to get to your head for some of you who do it very, very well. When you do it, still have fire. You should have human hair, I mean, whatever hair you call it, with fire. Don't just be on TikTok doing like this. Be on TikTok with fire. Be talking the word of God. See, the kind of person you are, character you are showing, we attract certain kind of men to you. If you're on TikTok just doing like this, those men that are like jumping chickens, we come to you. You will not attract any serious man when you are behaving like this on TikTok. Just, you will not attract them. Men like fire, like us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? We can't come to you. Do you have fire? This kind of men cannot come to you. These lions in the spirit. How can courage come to a TikTok game? Come, let me show you. We defy us after ascending to the third realms of the spirit. Women, prepare yourself. Arrange your life. Let them see you on TikTok speaking the word of God. Speaking so intelligently. Not that they will enter TikTok, they will see sexy Vero. Sexy Vero. Then Vero is like, they are begging her. HOD is begging her, remove that song. That's not a Christian song. Remove that song. They are begging you to remove that song. You will know the truth. The truth will what? Make you free. My heart desire and prayer for you all is that you end up in the will of God. You fulfill the will of God for your life. And never become a prey to the devil. Let's bow our heads and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.